21. Ashes. Mediation form, made for peace, it's said. Form of teaching and consolation. When used by the gods, it became instead form of lies and desolation. From The Listener's Song of Listing, 33rd stanza. Shallan closed Bluth's eyes, not looking at the ripped-out hole in his torso, the bloody entrails. Around her, workers salvaged what they could from the camp. People groaned, though some of those groans cut off as Vatha executed the bandits one by one. Shallan didn't stop him. He did the duty grimly, and as he walked past, he didn't look at her. He's thinking these bandits could have easily been him and his men, Shallan thought, looking back down at Bluth, his dead face lit by fires. What separates the heroes from the villains? One speech in the night? Bluth wasn't the only casualty of the assault. Vatha had lost 7 soldiers. They had killed over twice that many bandits. Exhausted, Shallan rose, but hesitated as she saw something poking out of Bluth's jacket. She leaned down and pushed the jacket open. There, stuffed in his pocket, was her picture of him. The one that depicted him not as he was, but as she imagined he might once have been. A soldier in an army in a crisp uniform, eyes forward rather than looking down all the time. A hero. When had he taken it from her sketchbook? She slipped it free and folded it, flattening the wrinkles. "I was wrong," she whispered. "You were a fine way to restart my collection, Bluth. Fight well for the Almighty in your sleep, bold one." She rose and looked over the camp. Several of the caravan's parshmen pulled corpses to the fires for burning. Shallan's intervention had rescued the merchants, but not without heavy losses. She hadn't counted, but the toll looked high. Dozens dead, including most of the caravan's guards, among them the Iriali man from earlier in the night. In her fatigue, Shallan wanted to crawl into her wagon and curl up for sleep. Instead, she went looking for the caravan leaders. The haggard, blood-stained scout from before stood beside a travel table, where she was talking to an older, bearded man in a felt cap. His eyes were blue, and he moved his fingers through his beard as he looked over a list the woman had brought him. Both looked up as Shallan approached. The woman rested a hand on her sword. The man continued to stroke his beard. Nearby, caravan workers sorted through the contents of a wagon that had toppled over, spilling bales of cloth.
"And here is our savior," the older man said. "Brightness, the winds themselves cannot speak of your majesty or the wonder of your timely arrival."
Shallan didn't feel majestic. She felt tired, sore, and grungy. Her bare feet, hidden by the bottom of her skirts, had started to ache again, and her ability to light weave was expended. Her dress looked almost as bad as a pauper's, and her hair, though braided, was an absolute mess. "You are the caravan owner?" Shallan asked.
"Makob is my name," he said.
She couldn't place his accent. Not Thalen or Alethi.
"You have met my associate Tin."
He nodded toward the woman.
"She is head of our guards. Both her soldiers and my goods have dwindled from tonight's encounters."
Tin folded her arms. She still wore her tan coat, and in the light of Makob's spheres, Shallan could see that it was of fine leather. What to make of a woman who dressed like a soldier and wore a sword at her waist?
"I've been telling Makob of your offer," Tin said. "Earlier, on the hill."
Makob chuckled, an incongruous sound considering their surroundings.
"Offer, she calls it. My associate is under the impression that it was really a threat. These mercenaries obviously work for you. We are wondering what your intention is for this caravan."
"The mercenaries didn't work for me before," Shallan said.
But they do now. It took a little persuasion. Tin raised an eyebrow.
That must have been some mighty fine persuasion, Brightness.
Shallan Devar. All I ask of you is what I said to Tin before. Accompany me to the Shattered Plains.
Surely your soldiers can do that,
Makob said.
You don't need our assistance.
I want you here to remind the soldiers what they've done, Shallan thought. Her instinct said that the more reminders of civilization the deserters had, the better off she would be.
They are soldiers, Shallan said. They have no idea how to properly convey a light-eyed woman in comfort. You, however, have nice wagons and goods aplenty. If you can't tell from my humble aspect, I am in dreadful need of a little luxury. I'd rather not arrive at the Shattered Plains looking like a vagabond.
We could use her soldiers, Tin said. My own force is reduced to a handful.
She inspected Shallan again, this time with curiosity. It wasn't an unfriendly look.
Then we shall make an accord, Makob said, smiling broadly and reaching across the table toward Shallan. In my gratitude for my life, I shall see you cared for with new apparel and fine foodstuffs for the duration of our travels together. You and your men will ensure our safety the rest of the way, and then we will part. Nothing more owed to one another.
Agreed, Shallan said, taking his hand. I shall allow you to join me. Your caravan unto mine, he hesitated.
Your caravan?
Yes.
And your authority, then, I assume?
You expected otherwise? He sighed, but shook on the deal.
No, I suppose not. I suppose not.
He released her hand, then waved toward a pair of people off at the side of the wagons. To Vlakov and Tag.
And what of those?
They are mine, Shallan said. I will deal with them.
Just keep them at the back of the caravan, if you will, Makob said, wrinkling his nose. Grimy business. I'd rather not our caravan stink of those wares. Either way, you'd best be about gathering your people. There will be a high storm soon. With our lost wagons, we have no extra shelter.
Shallan left them and made her way across the valley, trying to ignore the mingled stench of blood and char. A shape split from the darkness, moving in beside her. Vatha didn't look any less intimidating in the better light here. Well? Shallan asked him.
Some of my men are dead, he said,
his voice a monotone. They died doing a very good work, Shallan said. And the families of these who lived will bless them for their sacrifice. Vatha took her arm, pulling her to a stop. His grip was firm, even painful.
You don't look like you did before, he said.
She hadn't realized how much he towered over her.
Did my eyes mistake me? I saw a queen in the darkness. Now I see a child.
Perhaps you saw what your conscience needed you to see, Shallan said, tugging unsuccessfully on her arm. She blushed.
Vatha leaned in. His breath wasn't particularly sweet. My men have done worse things than this, he whispered, waving his other hand at the burning dead. Out in the wilderness we took. We killed. You think one night absolves us? You think one night will stop the nightmares?
Shallan felt a hollowness in her stomach.
If we go with you to the Shattered Plains, we're dead men, Vatha said. We'll be hanged the moment we return.
My word...
Your word means nothing, woman,
he shouted, grip tensing.
You should let her go,
Pattern said calmly from behind him. Vatha spun, looking about, but they weren't near anyone in particular. Shallan spotted Pattern on the back of Vatha's uniform as he turned.
Who said that?
Vatha demanded. I heard nothing, Shallan said, somehow managing to sound calm.
"You should let her go," Pattern repeated.
Vatha looked around again, then back at Shallan, who met his gaze with a level stare. She even forced out a smile. He let go of her and wiped his hand on his trousers, then retreated. Pattern slipped down his back and leg onto the ground, then skimmed toward Shallan. "That one will be trouble," Shallan said, rubbing the place where he'd gripped her.
"Is this a figure of speech?" Pattern asked.
"No, I mean what I said."
"Curious," Pattern said, watching Vatha retreat. "Because I think he already is trouble."
"True."
She continued her way toward Tavlakov, who sat on the seat of his wagon with hands clasped before him. He smiled toward Shallan as she arrived, though the expression seemed particularly thin on him today.
"So?" he asked conversationally. "Were you in on it from the start?"
"In on what?" Shallan asked wearily, shooing Tag away so she could talk to Tavlakov in private.
"Bluth's plan."
"Please do tell."
"Obviously," Tavlakov said. "He was in league with the deserters. That first night when he came running back to the camp, he'd met with them and promised to let them take us if he could share in the wealth. That was why they did not immediately kill you two when you went to speak with them."
"Oh?" Shallan asked. "And if that were the case, why did Bluth come back and warn us that night? Why did he flee with us instead of just letting his friends kill us right then?"
"Perhaps he only met with a few of them," Tavlakov said. "Yes, they lit fires on that hillside in the night to make us think there were more. And then his friends went to gather a larger crowd. And,"
he deflated,
"storms. That doesn't make any sense. But why? How? We should be dead."
"The Almighty preserved us," Shallan said.
"Your Almighty is a farce."
"You should hope he is," Shallan said, walking to the back of Tag's wagon nearby. "For if he is not, then damnation itself awaits men like you." She inspected the cage. 5 slaves in grimy clothing huddled inside, each one looking alone, though they were crammed in close. "These are mine now," Shallan told Tavlakov.
"What?"
He stood up on his seat. I saved your life." "You oily little man," Shallan said. "You will give me these slaves in payment. Dues in recompense for my soldiers protecting you and your worthless life."
"This is robbery."
"This is justice. If it bothers you, submit a grievance with the king in the Shattered Plains once we arrive."
"I'm not going to the Shattered Plains," Tavlakov spat. "You have someone else to convey you now, Brightness. I'm heading south as I originally intended."
"Then you'll do so without these," Shallan said, using her key, the one he had given her to get into her wagon, to open the cage. "You will give me their writs of slavery, and the Stormfather help you if not everything is in order, Tavlakov. I'm very good at spotting a forgery." She hadn't ever even seen a writ of slavery, and wouldn't know how to tell if one was faked. She didn't care. She was tired, frustrated, and eager to be done with this night. One by one, 5 hesitant slaves stepped from the wagon, shaggy bearded and shirtless. Her trip with Tavlakov had not been pleasant, but it had been luxurious compared to what these men had been through. Several glanced at the darkness nearby, as if eager. "You may run if you wish," Shallan said, softening her tone. "I will not hunt you. I need servants, however, and I will pay you well. 6 fire marks a week if you agree to put 5 of them toward paying down your slave debt. 1 if you don't." One of the men cocked his head.
"So, we take away the same amount either way? What kind of sense does that make?"
"The best kind," Shallan said, turning to Tavlakov, who sat stewing on the side of his seat.
"You have 3 wagons, but only 2 drivers. Will you sell me the 3rd wagon?"
She wouldn't need the chul. Makob would have an extra she could use, since several of his wagons had burned.
"Sell the wagon? Bah! Why not just steal it from me?"
"Stop being a child, Tavlakov. Do you want my money or not?"
5 sapphire bromes," he snapped. "And it's a steal at that price. Don't you argue otherwise."
She didn't know if it was or not, but she could afford it, with the spheres she had, even if most of them were done.
"You can't have my parshman,"
Tavlakov snapped. "You can keep them," Shallan said. She would need to talk to the caravan master about shoes and clothing for her servants. As she walked off to see if she could use an extra chul of Makob's, she passed a group of the caravan workers waiting to the side of one of the bonfires. The deserters threw the last body, one of their own, into the flames, then stepped back, wiping brows. One of the dark-eyed caravan women stepped up, holding out a sheet of paper to a former deserter. He took it, scratching at his beard. He was the shorter, one-eyed man who'd spoken during her speech. He held up the sheet to the others. It was a prayer made from familiar runes, but not one of mourning, as Shallan would have expected to see. It was a prayer of thanks. The former deserters gathered in front of the flames and looked at the prayer. Then they turned and looked outward, seeing, as if for the first time, the 2 dozen people standing there and watching, silent in the night. Some had tears on their cheeks. Some held the hands of children. Shallan had not noticed the children before, but was not surprised to see them. Caravan workers would spend their lives traveling, and their families would travel with them. Shallan stopped just beyond the caravaniers, mostly hidden in the darkness. The deserters didn't seem to know how to react, surrounded by that constellation of thankful eyes and tearful appreciation. Finally, they burned the prayer. Shallan bowed her head as they did, as did most of those watching. She left them standing taller, watching the ashes of that prayer rise toward the Almighty.